The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I've got a feeling, Morning Glory America, bonjour, hi Canada, I've got a feeling this is going to be a wild week when it starts with a terrorist bombing undone by Dave Perry, cabbie extraordinaire in Liverpool, England, and runs through one of the most commented on columns I've ever written for the Washington Post, and continues through interviews today with Governor Chris Christie coming up that will be very interesting. Look, it's going to be a big news week. Good Monday to you. It's not a victory Monday. It's a half a victory Monday. It's a victory in England because of the bravery of a cabbie that I'll tell you about in a second. Terror attack foiled, mostly foiled, in Liverpool yesterday. You might not know that news yet, but I get up early so that you will hear it from me first. And then it's an odd sort of weekend. The Buckeyes smashed Purdue, and then the Patriots smashed the Browns. So to both smash and be smashed is to create equilibrium in the force, and therefore I'm able to do the news. I'm not going to be too excited because the Browns were undone yesterday. So undone, I'm not sure defensive coordinator Joe Woods makes it to Tuesday. This happened to Ohio State early in the year when their defenses didn't seem to be able to keep up. Browns got the ball, marched down, scored. I thought, going to be a victory Monday. Everything looked good. We didn't have Nick Chubb, didn't have Kareem Hunt, but then that's our identity, the Browns' identity. The fans were excited that, you know, Baker could do it on his own. No, 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 no. Belichick screwing the Browns since 1991, when he was, in fact, the head coach of the Browns. He did it again. The guy is Voldemort. Meanwhile, I checked in with Generalissimo. Many of you listened on Friday know that Generalissimo did the impossible. If I had the impossible dream music, I would play it right now. If we can go find the impossible dream. Generalissimo spent Saturday in the company of, how many buses would you say of band people were there?
Between the buses and the equipment trucks that carry all the band gear and props and things, I parked and let out 138 buses and trucks.
And you're in one piece.
Barely.
Are you ready to type Chris Christie?
I am so glad to be here where I don't have to do anything.
No, you do. You have to type Chris Christie, and that's going to be like a six-hour conversation.
That depends on you.
But it's a relief.
I'm hopeful that you actually go 8 hours with him, because that way I don't have to type it till tomorrow.
Well, I sent the governor a note last night. I said, I read your book. It's interesting. Can you stay longer? He said, I'll stay as long as you want. So now I said, that's music to Dwayne's ears.
That's Hugh's quantity over quality bit again.
Yeah, about now the problem that I've got is that I've got nothing else to do because I can't move. Because on Friday, Friday was an interesting day for me, because on Friday, you know, I'd taken my relief factor during the show, went out, did my miles, came back, took a shower, and then I don't know how it actually happened. It's sort of hard to recreate.
Were you with you all day that day?
I was with myself all day, but I don't know what happened. But it's the end game. This is not the morning news break, but this is something I think every spouse will appreciate in America. Somehow I broke my toe and tore off the top toenail of my big toe, exiting the shower, heading to shave. I don't know how it happened. You're not supposed to shave your toe. No, I did not have a razor at that point. But in intense pain, having thought that I had just broken my toe, and I may not have broken it. I don't know. I haven't been able to.
How's the relief factor work in the toe department?
The relief factor does not work on this. I bent the toe at about 100. It's not 100. It's like 270.
Did it look like that NFL injury?
It looked like turf toe. And so what I didn't realize is that when you do that, you kind of sever the toenail, that you begin to bleed profusely. So I'm hopping around, just maybe some bad words escaped my voice. I'm not sure.
So maybe. You basically look like a Browns fan at that point.
At that point. But as I came into the
hopping
world,
around
so
cursing.
As I came into the world, so I was. The fetching Mrs. Hugh is not at home. So I I hop around and I say, well, the one thing I can do is I throw this in to get all the gym clothes and put it in the dryer. So I hopped over to the dryer. It's, you know, the pain, the tears are upsetting me. Then I realize I'm bleeding profusely. So there is on the carpet, it appears as though I murdered someone in the bedroom. It looks like only murders in the building. Did, if you watch that,
did,
it looked
did,
like
that. Was CSI Beltway summoned?
It could have been there. Well, when the carpet cleaners got there the next day, they asked what had happened.
Wait. The carpet cleaners?
Yes, because when I realized I was bleeding profusely, I did the best I could. But I couldn't do much because literally when you rip a toenail off, it is, I think it's like severing the artery in your leg. But there was enough blood there that it appeared that there'd been a gun battle inside of the bathroom, the shower, and the laundry room. But the fetching Mrs. Hewitt was completely understanding. Not.
Oh, I'm sure she was. I've known her for a long time. Yeah, not as long as you.
Not as long.
But I'm sure she was understanding.
Years. There's a first in every marriage. This is the first time in 39 years that I've left enough blood on the carpet to appear to be a set in an Alec Baldwin movie gone wrong. It was really a nightmare of carpet cleaning. So I have spent the day since we last talked. You were doing the bus thing. I've just been immobile. I did go to a wonderful bat mitzvah on Saturday night. And Vivian, if you're out there, it was the best I've ever been to. It was extraordinary, smashing success. You looked terrific and you sounded great. Your mom and dad were terrific and I had a great time hobbling around. But
it was like a Black Knight moment, right? You know, just a flesh wound?
Yeah, just a flesh wound. But the good news is I got so much show prep. I read Chris Christie's book. I did an 8-page outline. It's actually a 15-page outline. And I wrote a Washington Post piece that predicts Roe v. Wade will be overturned. So I got a lot done not moving. The unfortunate part of not moving, the fortunate part is able to watch Purdue get crushed on Saturday. Sorry if Jerry Hendricks is out there somewhere, somebody check on him. That's what they always say about me when the Browns get crushed on air. People send me tweets, are you okay? Of course
I'm okay.
What
place are the Browns in now, by the way?
We are at 500 ball. We'll make the playoffs. We'll be fine.
At 5-5, you're going to make the playoffs at fourth place in the AFC North?
Fourth place, a half game out in the AFC North. We're going to win the AFC North. We have four games left in the AFC North. We're 1-1. We're going to beat the Steelers. We're going to beat the Ravens twice. We're going to win the division and go on to this. That's why I'm not worried about all this.
And your toe will magically heal tomorrow.
And the toe will. Well, I was supposed to go today, but the podiatrist, I cannot do it, so I'm going to hobble around. But in the meantime, back to this column. So I was able to write this column on Friday about Roe being overturned because it will be overturned. There's a special edition of National Review out about the Dobbs case, which will be heard on December 1st. So I wrote this. It's just a simple prediction. It's simply, this is the Constitution. This is the way the Constitution went wrong. This is why I think there are six justices, including Chief Justice Roberts, who will overturn Roe and Casey, and it won't change a single abortion law in the state. It will simply get the federal courts out of this area of the law, which they were never intended to be. 3,000 nasty comments later, I must say, I really upset the people of the Washington Post. I'm here to tell you about now the key thing. In London yesterday, not London, in Liverpool, a cabbie notices that his passenger appears to be a suicide bomber. And we're putting up the tape. If you have downloaded the Salem News Channel, you will now be watching the video of what happened. The Salem News Channel is an app that you ought to get every day because I show you videos like this that no one else in America has because they don't get up early enough to do the news. So in Liverpool, this cabbie gets into his car and he looks him in the back. You know, cabbies look at you. They always look at Dwayne. And they say, who is this guy in my car? Because he looks like Lex Luthor meets the band director. And so this guy gets in the car and he figures out that the direction being given, he hadn't been quoted yet. His name is Dave Perry. Somehow the terrorist suicide bomber gives it away. Maybe his coat was bulked up. So I want to go to Remembrance Sunday at the hospital. He wanted to go to somewhere where they were doing, it's called Remembrance Sunday in Great Britain. They also have an 11/11 Remembrance Day, but then the Sunday after there are church services and gatherings and it's Poppy Day. Where you wear the red poppy in remembrance of World War I. Cabby figures it out, drives to where he figures he can jump out and run and let the car drift. And he did. He jumped out, let the car roll to a stop in a traffic circle where there was no person. Car blows up. killing the suicide bomber and nobody else, and the terrorist police are arresting everybody in Liverpool. This is not a good day to have booked the tour of the Beatles on the bus in Liverpool, which I have myself done. But it's a great day for heroism and fast thinking. So our hat is off. And if you download the Salem News Channel in the break, I will play it for you again so you can see it. Only Hugh Hewitt has this video this morning because, after all, that's what you come here for. I will do the rundown because there was so much news this weekend. And that's enough of my toe and the Browns. Joe Woods, you either got to change the system or you got to get a new job, buddy. And Kevin, pull the trigger. I'm not going to waste an entire season of the Browns because we don't have how to play man-to-man with the best defense in America. Stay tuned. Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. It's a manic Monday. I didn't even finish the story of the epic story of the big toe. But first, I want to show that video again. If you downloaded the Salem News Channel, then you can watch this. This is the attempted terror attack in Great Britain and Liverpool at the Liverpool Women's Hospital. There goes the cabbie is running away, and there explodes the car. And then people are wandering around saying, what's going on here? And people run, good hospital people that they are. They're running to see if someone's alive after that. And the cabbie's kind of knocked to his ground, et cetera, and the police arrive, and they've been arresting everybody. Everything's okay. The only person who's dead is a suicide bomber. And it just reminds us, in Great Britain, there are many, many thousands of jihadis who have not... Just because we left Afghanistan doesn't mean the war's over, people. Just because we left doesn't mean it's over. Now, back to the big toe. We've exclusively obtained a photo of my toe. Not going to show you as it appeared afterwards, just going to show you as I considered what to do. There it is.
Not in the altogether.
Not in the altogether. It's just the immediate response for any man is to, it will feel better if I put more gauze on it, right? That's what I did. So you'll see that the toe has got enough gauze on it to basically wrap the mummy. Which is not a strategically sound choice because eventually it has to come off. So after 3.5 hours, when it continues to bleed through more gauze than the mummy and destroyed a set of sheets in addition to the carpet, the fetching Mrs. Hewitt says, perhaps you should go to the urgent care. So I did. I went to the Google and I said to Mr. Google, where is the urgent care closest to me? And they sent me, actually, it should have been called the not-so-urgent care that really wants to close at 5 o'clock. Because when I got to the not-so-urgent care that really wants to close at 5 o'clock, nobody was there except two girls at the desk and one physician's assistant who took a look at the gauze and said, you know, we don't have a lot of equipment here. That's what she said.
They don't have the right equipment to be able to cauterize a toe.
Equipment? What kind of equipment do you need? You haven't even seen it. She said, well, you got a lot of gauze there. And I said, yeah, I got a lot of gauze. And do you notice that it's all red? And she said, well, let's get that off. I said, let me do it. Because I didn't have a lot of confidence in the not-so-urgent care physician assistant who was there at 4:55. And I got it off, and she did do two things. She put me in excruciating pain by injecting lidocaine into the wound.
Lidocaine, yes.
Whatever it is.
Yes.
And then she put, she honest to goodness, I'm not going to name the place at a prison. She said, I'm a trial, you know, a trial lawyer would have rushed in immediately and said, can we get that on tape? I want to make sure I get the exact code. You know, we're not supposed to put epiphenin, whatever it is, into the toes and the feet, but I think that's kind of a myth.
Are you kidding me?
No. She said she injected. It's a blood clot, right? She said, normally, but I think it's the top of the toe, and so I think it's okay. I said, go with it, because we got to stop the bleeding here. It's either that or put a rubber band on the toe, have it turn black and fall off. So she injects it with whatever is the blood clotting. Turns ghostly white, but it stopped bleeding. So I've hobbled around since then. But my favorite part was the not-so-urgent care. We haven't got the equipment. So I made an appointment for today that I have to cancel because I got Chris Christie. I'll go in tomorrow.
Normally,
and
they'll have like a little, once they numb it, they've got a cauterizing pin, and they'll just...
No, they didn't have that, and they didn't have the toenail, whatever they used to, you know, in medieval times, they used to take off toenail, and the KGB used
to take off toenail. Well, no, in the medieval times, you would have just gone for a bleeding.
That's it. I would have gotten the leeches. But my favorite part of the day was we don't have so much equipment here. And there were three people in the not-so-urgent care at 4:55 on a Saturday. Why do they call it urgent care if it's going to close at 5 o'clock on a Saturday? Because everybody's got to go, what, go watch the Ohio State game? It was already over. Maybe they had to go to the bat mitzvah I had to go to. But it was nevertheless quite the experience. Don't go anywhere, America. I'll be right back.
We'll
I don't have to move
eventually.
During the show. I'm going to do the news in the next segment. Stay with us right here on the Monday edition of the Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. I'm going to leave alone the not-so-urgent care people. I'm going to instead rag on John Andrasik for a moment here. My buddy John from Five for Fighting is a good friend. But inevitably, when I go to one of his concerts, I end up in the back of the room because of a ticket miscue or something like that. Now, he's always allegedly held me a chair, sort of like the guy, you know, two tickets will be left for your Ted Lasso for the grumpy guy, his name, I can't remember it, that always. And so there's always two tickets left for me, but they end up, the last time when he was here in town at the Birchmere in over in Alexandria across the river, every conservative media person in America showed up. And they all had these great tables close to the show, and we show up, and there's a line through my name. Honestly, there's a line through my name. No, a line through it. Sorry, sir, you were taken off the list. By whom? For what reason? You were taken off the list. So we were in the back in the rafters with the monkeys and the wasps. So then he goes to the West Coast. He goes to the Coach House, which is a great venue. And he shows up. Who shows up but Generalissimo? Does he end up with the rafters and the wasps? No. Where did John, your friend John, put you on Friday?
So I get there, gates open at 6. I got there at about 10 of, and at the box office, I said, oh, okay. So they gave me my tickets, and we got in, and
this is after band day, right?
This is the night before. This is Friday night.
This is an anesthetic, so, because you know you've got to do Band-Aid the next day.
Yes. Coach House, legendary venue, dinner theater type environment. And so I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to get one of these long rows of tables perpendicular to the stage. And the guy says, what's your last name? And I told him my last name. He goes, oh. And he looks over to the guy next to me and says, this is your couple. They're going to Gary's room. Oh, okay. So he says, please follow me. So we follow him, side of the stage, up the staircase, backstage, up and around to center stage, just off center stage, and we're about 30 feet from the dressing room.
From the green room. John Andrasik, I cannot believe this. Guy Benson and Adam
John had
took
nachos.
Our tickets.
John had nachos before the show, and we had mozzarella sticks. We were having appetizers and talking stuff in the green room with John for half an hour.
And I was in the wasp rafters at the Birchmere.
Well, because they didn't want blood on the carpet.
That might have been actually there. We have a picture of
that was my seats.
I really hate you. Go away. Go away. I'm going to do the news now and. Five for Fighting. We're going to change all of our music. Guy Benson bogarted my seats. I was with the Wasps. I told everyone, hey, come on, we're going to go to this show and have a great time. And, Mr. Hewitt, your name has been, you're off the list here. All right, I already told you about the terror attack in Great Britain. Let me get to that. It's a bad day for the world. Joe Biden is going to negotiate with General Secretary Xi, the genocidal maniac running China now, today by telephone. So we might not have a country by the end of the day. What do you think Xi says to the first person after he gets off the phone with President Biden? What do you think he turns to the guy and says to him in Chinese?
Mandarin?
Yeah, that's what I was looking for. What do you think he says? Think he says, that guy's old? Or do you think it's strike... move up the plans for Taiwan? Is that what he says?
No, I think he says, if I would have worked him a little bit more, I could have gotten Canada, too.
I could have gotten Canada. It's like the Treaty of Paris of 1763 when Great Britain got Canada from the French. This could be a bad day. They're meeting by Zoom call. Business calls for more action after COP26 deal is watered down. Honestly, at the end of this COP26 deal, it was like a model UN weekend gone mad. It was, if any of you ever had to do a model UN, I had to work a model UN once for money. I had to take care of the teenagers for money when they came to Boston and I was in college. And somebody said, if you'll go chaperone, we'll give you $30 a night in a room at the Sheraton downtown. So I was happy to do that. Of course, what do teenagers do when they go to the Model UN? They pretend to be very good doobies, and then they drink all night, and you chase them down and get them back in their room. So that was my job. This was a Model UN in Glasgow for 2 weeks. It's over, and they said, oh, sorry, we didn't get anything done. What a surprise! No binding legal authority. And China didn't even come. India said to you, basically, the Indian delegate said, nah, we're not doing this. And Putin thumbed his nose at you because the only foreign exchange he has is from his oil. So he's not going to stop pumping his oil. Only Joe Biden and John Kerry don't understand this, but they don't understand this. The world's going to adapt to climate change. It's not going to stop climate change. So start adapting and stop talking, because it's not going to work with these people. The Prime Minister of Israel, Naftali Bennett, has said that Turkey better watch out because they've arrested a couple of Israelis for taking pictures of Erdogan's palace. And given the fact that they're Erdogan goons, we don't know where the Israelis are, but the Israelis will not mess around like the Americans will. They're going to give Erdogan a couple of days to figure this out, and then things are going to go boom in the night in Istanbul. So get going. President Biden approval hits new low, according to the Washington Post ABC poll yesterday. Now remember, the Washington Post ABC poll is the one that said Joe Biden was going to win Wisconsin by 17 points, and he won by 0.6 points. So this has a bit of a Biden bias built into it, and they say he's at 41% approval. 41%. That's lower than Donald Trump at the worst point. All right? That's where Joe Biden is. Because, do you know why? It's not because of anything he did. It's because everybody can see he hasn't lost a step. He's lost a couple of laps. He's not going to finish the quarter mile. All right? It's not going to. He's one of the guys who's not going to walk it, and he's going to walk off. He's just too damn old. And people understand that, and their confidence have fallen through. Meanwhile, from the Wall Street Journal, high inflation pushes Biden to focus message on rising prices. Focus message. We don't care about focusing message. Get out of the way. Stop spending money. Build back better. No, we can't pour another $2 trillion on the Barbie. That's like letting a four-year-old play with the lighter fluid near the Weber. You don't do it. Democrats try to heal rifts past $2 trillion in spending. That's the Wall Street Journal. What morons. Meanwhile, CNN got leaked in exclusive. Exasperation and dysfunction inside Kamala Harris' frustrating start as vice president. They've just woken up at CNN to the fact that Kamala Harris doesn't know how to do anything, and the Biden people have said, oh my gosh, we picked the stiff. So that's what they're saying. And you can read the whole thing. It goes on forever. They talked to 30 sources, each one of whom said she doesn't know what she's doing, and each of her people said, the president's being mean to us. Biden, Xi to meet Monday amid tensions. I told you about that. What's driving Xi Jinping's economic revamp? China's social mobility is stalled. It's called genocide. It's called absolute power. It's called a Stalin complex. What's driving Xi? Power. Absolute power. That's what's driving Xi. The media's epic fail is the subject of an Axios special on the dossier. Turns out, this is news to a lot of people in the Beltway. This Steele dossier was made up. Completely made up. And David Corn and everyone else who peddled that garbage into the veins of America that triggered Mueller and years are saying, well, we've got more important stuff to walk on. You know, Manafort gave polling to the Ukraine. That's really the answer. Got nothing to do with the Steele dossier, which is a complete fabrication, a tissue of lies that froze the president for a year and a half in place, 2 years, led to an impeachment, led to Mueller, completely bollocked up. Trump got a lot done despite this. But their answer now is to look the other way. What Steele dossier? So Sarah Fisher over at Axios writes, the media's epic failure. Go read it. Governor DeSantis is bringing back the Florida legislature to pass even stronger laws prohibiting the mandatory mask wearing in Florida. That is the legislature's right. That is Governor DeSantis' right. I do not believe he can oblige private employers not to impose masks, but he can certainly stop local governments from doing so. Governor Christie wants the post-Trump GOP to move past 2020. He's coming up later in the show. This Thanksgiving, the masks are off, the dinner's inside, and the relatives are back. That's a pretty very, very gloomy headline, if you ask me. The relatives are back. Anne Marie Shaker. We'll be doing our annual Ways to Get Conversations Started Wednesday show next week. And then, of course, It wouldn't be a long weekend in the New York Times unless we got some left-wing cause with its own particular piece. Ghost guns, firearm kits, bought online, fuel epidemic of violence. You know, I actually don't think this is the problem in Chicago. Mail order guns that you put together. I don't think that's the problem. There is also, however, this is brought to you by Birch Gold. Birch Gold is the place to go to buy gold. You go to HughGold.com. The market on Friday was up across the board. The Dow was up 179. The NASDAQ up 156. Overseas this morning, it's booming in Germany and France. Crude is down to 80. The price of gold's at 1865. Just remember, the Civil War ended in 1865. That's where the price of gold is right now. If you want to buy gold because you're finally persuaded, my gosh, we're going to have 6 to 10% inflation for a year, maybe higher, time to buy gold. Go to HughGold.com. They're a great sponsor of this show. Or you can text my name, Hugh, to 474747. New York Times Magazine yesterday. Will real estate ever be normal again? No. Because of inflation, it's going through a 30-year frenzy. And by the way, it's not built on subprime mortgages. It's not built on adjustable rates. Less than like 5% of the rates out there are adjustable. People are locking in 30-year loans. But because the money is so artificially low and the value of the asset is climbing so rapidly, the demand curve has gone crazy and you can't buy a house. So this just tells you about the woes of every house buyer out there, that there are 35 offers, and unless you go $50,000 over asking. Look, if you've been to a house and it's on the market for a week, buy it. If you said to yourself, I might be able to live here, buy it, because it's not going to be there next week. That's simple. And if you're going to buy gold, go and buy gold right now. Now, I normally play at least one audio bit in the course of three segments, but this was an unusual weekend. So let's play. Listen to Larry Summers. Telling Larry Summers, former Secretary of the Treasury under Bill Clinton, former economic advisor and czar to President Obama, he's not a Republican. He's on CNN with Fareed Zakaria. You're not to be blamed if you didn't see it. Nobody did. Cut number four.
Look, they forecast that inflation would be 2% this year in the president's budget. It's three times that. They said in the summertime, after they'd been initially wrong, that inflation would be back to normal by the end of the year. Then they said early in the fall that inflation would subside early next year. Now they're saying that it's going to subside in the second half of next year. Sooner or later, I'm sure it will subside. But my judgment is, given the inflation momentum that has built up, that it's going to take some significant policy adjustment or some unfortunate accident that slows the economy before inflation gets back to the 2% range.
Okay, now that is sort of like sometime it's going to get back to normal. Remember the end scene of the Planet of the Apes Part 1? That's when it's going to get back to normal, when Lady Liberty's under the sand. Okay, here's my relief factor. Now, I am not going to be running today. I'm going to find a not-so-urgent care and get my toe fixed today. I'm not going to be running, but then tomorrow I'm going to be hobbling because I feel fine except for my toe. But I've got my relief factor anyway. I take it even on days when I'm not going running because there are other kinds of aches and pains that I don't want, the sort that come from listening to Larry Summers, I guess, because, my gosh, that's not music to my ears. But relieffactor.com, $19.95. It will not help you when you detach your toenail from your toe, but it will get rid of the minor aches and pains that come with exercise and aging, not sports injuries. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Selena Zito is next, America. Stay with me on The Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt, joined now by Pittsburgh Post columnist, New York Post columnist, Washington Examiner columnist, Selena Zito. You have been the busy bee, Selena Zito. I just tweeted out three columns. Normally, I get one column from you, and I got this tidal wave of columns. What's up with you this weekend? Did you break your toe, too, and just right away?
No, wait, you broke your toe?
Yeah. If you listen to the show, I'll send it. It's a long saga, but it doesn't matter. What matters is that you – I wrote one call, but I thought I worked this weekend. You turned out a trio of great ones.
Um. Well, I don't know. There's a lot going on. So.
But how often do you hit for the cycle? I mean, we need one more. There's probably something over at SelenaZito.com so you can hit for the cycle. Which is the best of these three? The Columbus statue, the Virginia? Which one do you like the most?
I like them all. I'm going to leave it up to you to pick the one that you like. I mean, I think there's a lot of lessons from Virginia.
Let's go to the Virginia lessons because I live in Virginia, and I want to know what you think the Democrats don't know after they stepped on the rake and it hit them in the face and they're wondering what happened.
Well, I think they don't know is what we've been talking about for months. And the simplest and most important thing to begin with is they don't understand that it's not about Trump anymore. They tried so hard to make this election, this cycle, their entire narrative was about Trump. And what they don't sort of understand about voters is that voters don't look in the rearview mirror. They look going forward because the things they vote on are about their lives, their communities, their children, their grandchildren. And so that's the big thing that's the number one thing I think they missed. And so did the media. I mean, our profession believed that this was the most important thing on the minds of voters. And as we've demonstrated, it's not. And I think the other thing that.
Selena, let me pause you there. I want to play just a little bit of the Breonna Keller with Rick Scott interview. Cut number 12. This is the last week after Virginia came in.
The Virginia governor's race, is that the GOP playbook for the midterms, basically ignore Donald Trump? Is this the playbook for Republicans? Are you comfortable with Republican candidates embracing someone, Donald Trump, who continues to lie about the election?
Okay, then go to cut number 11, Breonna Keller.
I mean, and so well, it's
the
not
parents
in the curriculum.
Showed up because they don't like being lied to.
I mean, just to be clear, it's not in the curriculum in Virginia.
In February 2019, a superintendent memo for the Virginia Department of Education promoted critical race theory and the idea of white fragility.
It's not
part
of the curriculum.
Parents are smart.
I just want to be clear. Okay, Senator, I just have to be clear.
Virginia Department of Education promoted.
I can't even finish the clip. She says it's not part of the curriculum six times, Selena. She accuses the Republicans of ignoring Donald Trump a quarter of that time. It was really wild, but that's the media.
That is my profession, and it's embarrassing. And part, you know, and we've talked about this a lot on your show. Part of the problem with the media is that they live in these, no offense to where you live, they live in these super zip codes, and they're surrounded by people that think like they do, and they go to the same, you know, they went to the same schools, they go to the same social events. And they have no sort of intellectual curiosity about the people that they cover that are outside of those super zip codes.
And by the way, they're obsessed with the mob of January 6th. Now, I think the mob needs to be prosecuted, and they are being prosecuted. They're going to jail, but it was 800 people. And the mob is never a good thing, but the mob was dispersed and has been gone since January 6th, and they're being prosecuted. It's all some of my lefty friends can talk about is the mob. They really do think the country's teetering on the precipice of armed revolution because of the people with the Viking helmets. It was a very dangerous thing. They could have killed Mike Pence. They might have killed Nancy Pelosi. They ought to all go to jail who was involved in that. I don't make light of that. But it's over, except in their minds.
That's absolutely true. And they don't want it to be over. They want people that are different than them to be that caricature. They cannot accept that they are anything but that. And everyone that voted.
You know what I like to tell my Democrat? If they watch a football game, there will be 70,000 people, and there's always like a handful of people in the front row who are dressed up funny, and they're crazy fans, right? They're the dog pound in Cleveland, or they're the Buckeye guy with the orange and the gray, or if Steelers had fans, they would be the Steelers people. They're always there. They're for, and that is to the crowd as the January 6th people is to America.
That you know, that's interesting that you say that, because when I used to go to Trump rallies long before he was elected, you know, the press would only write about this, you know, the 17 people that were weird. And they would ignore the 24,000 other people that were there. And that has a lot to do with them missing and not understanding that election. And what they're missing and not understanding about what's happening right now, it began with those 13 chairs, those 13 beers that people put out when Afghanistan fell.
And they do not want to forget those brave Marines and sailor and soldier. And they also don't want to obsess over the 800 nutters who showed up on the mall on January 6th. They just want them tried, prosecuted, and jailed. And they want to move on with getting inflation under control. Selena Zito, the productive one, I've tweeted out all of your columns. Go write another 20 before I talk to you next Monday. You have a great day, Selena. Hour number two of the Hugh Hewitt Show, straight ahead.
Coming on the air this morning with a brand new poll, and it's brutal for President Biden. His approval rating has hit a new low. Only 41% of Americans think he's doing a good job in office. 53% disapprove.
Morning, Glory America. Bonjour, hi, Canada. That was George Stephanopoulos opening yesterday's This Week on ABC. I'm Hugh Hewitt, live inside the Beltway, joined by Jake Sherman of Punch Bowl News, where they cover the Congress like nobody else. PunchBowlNews.com. Jake, you heard George. I know that they're having a signing ceremony at the White House because I read my Punch Bowl News today. I don't think that's going to help much, do you?
The signing ceremony, I don't know. I guess it will help marginally. It will help. Well, listen, it will help at least give a better narrative to the administration. We focused this morning, as you know, Hugh, we talked about that generic poll, and I think it's actually worth a minute to dwell on here. Republicans are up, I think it's something like 10 or 15 points in the generic ballot, which is, would you vote for a Republican or a Democrat? They're up 51-41, so it's 10 points. That is astounding because, as you know, the generic ballot generally favors the Democrats. So if Republicans and Democrats are tied on the generic, that means Republicans have a pretty healthy electoral advantage. So the fact that they're up 10 means that they have an extremely healthy advantage right now in 2022.
Well, Jake, it also means that the Democrats are going to get wiped out in 2022 unless President Trump throws the Republicans an anchor and sinks them. I think that is a possibility. I'll be talking with Chris Christie about that later today. But the real story here, it's not the Steele dossier. It's not the spending. It's inflation. Americans hate inflation. I mean, they hate it. You're too young. You actually don't remember 12% prime rate. My first house in 1985 in Farlington Village, 12.5% with the fetching Mrs. Hewitt. Americans hate inflation, Jake. Have you seen it yet? Have you felt it yet?
Yeah, I have. All over. I mean, you can't help but going to the supermarket and noticing things are more expensive. But I will say this. We have an ad this morning in Punch Bowl News, an ad that AAN, the American Action Network, the big Republican outside group, they are running ads across the country against vulnerable Democrats, rather, about inflation. It's going to be, I agree with you, it's going to be the political issue. I don't know how it subsides between now and Election Day. I'm not saying it won't, but I don't know how Democrats are going to do it. I mean, they are arguing that this bill, this $2 trillion bill is going to help. Is going to help with inflation. I think Republicans are making the obvious counter argument that it's obviously not going to help inflation. So this is kind of what the election will turn on.
Did you watch Fareed Zakaria yesterday with Larry Summers?
I did not. No,
I'm still looking for the person who did. Look, I have the lowest rated show in the history of MSNBC. Fareed has the lowest rated show in the history of shows, but Larry Summers said an interesting thing yesterday, cut number four.
Look, they forecast that inflation would be 2% this year in the president's budget. It's three times that. They said in the summertime, after they'd been initially wrong, that inflation would be back to normal by the end of the year. Then they said early in the fall that inflation would subside early next year. Now they're saying that it's going to subside in the second half of next year. Sooner or later, I'm sure it will subside. But my judgment is, given the inflation momentum that has built up, that it's going to take some significant policy adjustment or some unfortunate accident that slows the economy before inflation gets back to the 2% range.
So, Jake Sherman, I think Larry Summers there, a Democrat, of course, just called for the meteor strike on America ending inflation. Honestly, that was, you would never have him address a football rally, right? But if you just listen to him, that's dire, dire stuff.
It is. I mean, and the administration obviously has had its disagreements with Summers, and Summers has been held out kind of as the Mark Zandi of this generation. You'll remember Mark Zandi was John McCain's economic advisor and has been more along the lines of Democrats in the last couple of years. But listen, he's not the only one that says this. The White House is keen on suggesting that there are 17 Nobel-winning economists who say that this bill will not hurt inflation, and obviously there are probably many who say it will. So we're not going to find unanimity here, Hugh. But
but Larry Summers, let's be clear for the audience. Larry Summers, a former Secretary of the Treasury under Bill Clinton, former economic czar under President Obama, former president of Harvard. I don't care about Nobel laureates. He's actually done both sides of the aisle. He knows. He's the admission against interest. He's a Democrat's Democrat, and he says it's not going to subside. So let's just assume for a moment he's right. What's that mean for the House next year?
Well, I think undoubtedly the House is going to go. I mean, listen, we can't say undoubtedly, but 9 times out of 10, if you run this election, it's going to go to Republicans. Why? Because we've seen this over a long period of time. Now, we have an interesting statistic, Hugh, and you're a man who understands this very well. But if Kevin McCarthy is able to win 35 seats. That will be the largest House majority since 1930, I believe, when Republicans had 270 seats. So he doesn't have to pull off a 2010-type upset where he wins 63 seats, although he believes he'll win 63 seats. He needs to win like 35, and he has the largest House Republican majority in almost 100 years.
Because he pulled off a red wave underneath the anti-Trump vote of last year. People didn't see it, but there was a red wave underneath the Joe Biden victory, and Democrats have ignored an attempt to govern as though they have a mandate, and they're going to get crushed. Now, the question is, will they try and preserve some marginal seats by giving up better, Build Back Better? I believe they will pass Build Back Better out of the House. I just don't think it's getting out of the Senate.
Oh, I think it's going to get out of the Senate. I don't know what it's going to look like when it gets out of the Senate. It's not going to be anything near what Democrats are hoping for right now. But I think it's going to get out of the Senate. I think there's just too much, in my belief, I mean, I could be wrong. There's too many people have too much equity in this thing to let it fail, and they spent too much time on it to let it fail at this point. And I just think, given all of those dynamics, it's going to pass. But I don't think they're going to give up on it. I mean, we've been saying that it's a victory if they pass this thing by New Year's Day, and I still think it's a victory if they pass it by New Year's Day. But from a timing perspective, now there's two. I would just say this to you: there's two theories about power when it comes to Congress. You either use your majorities or preserve your majorities. And a lot of people believe there's no way to do both. And I think what we're seeing is Democrats are using their majority.
Well, a lot of people will also tell you Nancy Pelosi is a lame duck. She's quitting, and therefore, why not? I got to ask you, have you read Chris Christie's new book, Republican Rescue, yet? The governor's on with me later today.
I have not, but I've seen all the coverage, and it seems like it's quite interesting, I'd say the least.
Well, on page 293, I've read it and got it annotated. In 2009, he became my mentor governor and was a regular source of advice and confidence throughout my first year as governor of New Jersey. Who do you think he's talking about as his mentor governor and his good pal?
Don't have any idea. Who is it?
Joe Manchin. And he goes on to praise Joe Manchin with great praise. He's a special leader. He and Mary Pat count Joe and Gail as wonderful friends. Okay, so Joe Manchin and Chris Christie, who knew that they were best buds? Joe Manchin is genuinely a throwback. He is not. He's not going to raise inflation for the people of West Virginia who can't afford it. I really don't know if it's going to get out of the Senate, Jake Sherman. The Democrats, you know, he might say, OK, I'll give you $100 billion. But that's not what they want. They wanted $7 trillion.
They wanted $10 trillion, as a matter of fact. I hear you on this. I just think And you're not the only one that believes this, and you're not the only, I mean, there are Republicans who believe this, there are Democrats who believe this, that this will never get out of the Senate, which is why progressives argued smartly that they shouldn't pass the infrastructure bill until they have guarantees on the other side from Manchin when it came to the Build Back Better Act. All that being said, I just happen to think that even if they have to pare it back significantly, it's going to pass. I don't know. It's going to be have to be quite significantly, though. It's going to have to be a different piece of legislation.
Okay, last question, Jake Sherman. Punchbowlnews.com, America. You really ought to read it every morning. How much of that 41%, the epic drop in approval that it represents, is inflation, and how much of it is the manifest frailty of the president?
I think that it's mostly inflation. I think people are also sick of COVID. I think that people are sick of schools closing. I think they're sick of being in their house. I think they're sick of, I just think they're sick of everything. And I think that that's what's showing up, to be honest with you.
I honestly believe that, you know, the Beltway doesn't like to talk about this, but the American people see what we see, and they see an old guy who just ought not to be in this job. Now, Trump drove people crazy, and they saw a temperamental guy who they thought should not be in this job. But with Joe Biden, they see a guy who does not have the energy for this job. And that CNN piece on Harris, did you read that yet?
I did. It was very good.
What's that telegraph to you, Jake? 20 seconds.
I think it telegraphs that she's unhappy in the job, and Joe Biden wants to do everything. But I don't have any reporting on that myself.
All right. She's the president of the Senate. I expect my next Punch Bowl News to catch up on that. Jake Sherman from PunchbowlNews.com. Thank you. Go subscribe. Come back to the Hugh Hewitt Show. It's Monday. I want to remind you that our sponsor is AndrewandTodd.com. There with Sierra Pacific, they lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So, if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to AndrewandTodd.com or call them at 888-888-1172. Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. I don't know this for a fact, but I think Josh Krashauer was a National Merit Scholar. I think he's that smart. And you can follow him at Hotline Josh. So we're going to give him an SAT question. Were you a National Merit Scholar, Josh?
No, you're not even close. I did well in the SATs, but I never was in the high, rarefied air of the National Merit Scholarship.
Well, you're talking to a National Merit Scholar, but nevertheless, that was back when there were four people taking the test. Nevertheless, you did well on the SATs?
Well enough to get into college, get a graduate degree. Yeah.
Good. All right. So here we go. The question is: the least credible person is A. Anthony Fauci, B. Joe Isuzu, C. Baghdad Bob, D. Adam Schiff. Who is it?
Well, you kind of stacked the deck there, but Schiff. I mean, I'm sure you saw Schiff on the Sunday shows. Schiff is a partisan, and I think that needs to be understood.
No, wait, partisans don't lie. I'm a partisan. Well, I tell the truth.
Well, I there's been a real credibility gap. We've talked about this, and the Steele dossier has been discredited. And the fact that one of my big tests when I talk to sources is, you know, ask them an easy question to see if you're going to give me spin or you're going to give me the facts and give me the intel. And the fact that Schiff couldn't say with a straight face, look, we made mistakes. The Steele dossier that I talked so much about, a lot of that was deemed uncredible. I made a mistake. A lot of other things I said were right, but I made a mistake on the Steele dossier.
But Josh Paz,
say that was a very
if he
tough.
Says that, then the next line is, so you're telling me that the impeachment of the President of the United States was built on a tissue of lies and that Robert Mueller shouldn't have been anointed as special counsel? Because that's inevitably what follows, right? Steele dossier, no investigation. The Manafort, he always brings up Manafort giving polling data to the Ukraine, who are probably the GRU. He's right about that. But none of that would have come to light but for the fact of the tissue of lies launching a special counsel.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, there are other issues at play there. But Schiff was a partisan throughout the process. The fact that, again, he wasn't willing to acknowledge the weakness that discredited Steele dossier when he was asked about it by Chuck. He was on Face the Nation. He was on Bill Maher's show and still doubled down on it over the weekend as well. So, yeah, I mean, it speaks to the fact that he you don't want an Intel committee chair who has a partisan reputation. I remember the days of, you know, Mike Rogers and Ruppersberger, who worked together. There was not the degree of partisanship we saw when Schiff was leading the committee in the last few years.
Nancy Pelosi put him there. I want people to understand that's a speaker's appointment reserved to the speaker. The chair and the members are reserved to the various. That's how it's always worked. My question is, Josh, if you had as much media as Adam Schiff has had for his book, Midnight in Washington, if you've had as much media as he's had, I mean, it's the Gatling gun of media. Where do you think the book would be on Amazon right now?
You know, it's a good question. He's obviously doing the book tour. Yeah, where you tell me.
357.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, timing is everything in the book business, Hugh. And, you know. Yeah,
Schadenfreude. This is to me. I told people the arc of history bends towards justice. Nah, that's not actually true. We have a genocide going on in China in 2021, but the arc of history does bend towards irony, and this one is a hilarious thing. I mean, you give anyone that much media, you ought to be in the top 10, maybe at least the top 100. But 357. I didn't know he was on Mar. That's where the left wing goes to drink at night, right? So. He can't give those books away.
Well, and sometimes you need a little more humility in Washington. I don't know if I'd be doing the Sunday show round. I know
pitching
the book,
no.
Right?
The publisher's stuck out there with thousands of copies of Hero Adam Schiff book, and I'm offering him a 3-hour co-host. Josh, he can come co-host with me for 3 hours. You think his publisher is going to let him get near me?
Well, I'll have to get him on my podcast to ask the deeper questions. But yeah, no, I usually, you know, I guess any publicity is you know, all publicity is good publicity. Is that the cliche? And certainly Schiff is doing the round.
He's proven to be the impossible to sell book. I didn't think it existed, a book that's impossible to sell with enough publicity. Normally you can sell anything with enough publicity. You cannot sell Adam Schiff's book. You can't get, it's like, were you around when Jim Wright printed up the books and then gave them to his friends and they gave him money? Were you around for that?
Yeah, I was a little before my time, but yeah.
I thought so.
I know the story.
So he's worse than Jim Wright at selling books. So Josh Kroshauer, President Biden's number is historically low. We got a minute left. I don't see any way out of this hole. And then the Kamala Harris piece at CNN. We are like DEFCON 5 for the Biden administration, aren't we?
Yeah, I mean, the credibility gap is just striking at this point where you had, it was a great Washington Post story over the weekend where you literally had a documentation of all the comments the White House had about Afghanistan, about inflation, about the supply chain, and all of it is, not none of it, rather, has come to fruition. So, inflation is going to be the big issue if it doesn't go away. You know, the comments that the White House was making that this was transitory is now out of not hearing that anymore. And they just have to kind of hope and pray. You know, inflation, if this is a serious issue and it continues, it's not just a temporary result of supply chain issues, you can't really do anything at this point. It's really a lot of wishing and hoping that this is a result of some unusual factors. But if there's one thing they can do
in the House, they can get their resumes ready. Because 50 of them are going to need a job this time in 18 months, 50 of them are going to need a job all at once. It's going to be ugly. Hotline Josh on Twitter. Hotline Josh on Twitter. Josh Kroshauer, National Merit Scholar. I still don't believe that. I think you are a National Merit Scholar. Don't go anywhere, America. Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt for Birch Gold. If you found yourself completely befuddled by events in Afghanistan, alarmed about inflation and otherwise uneasy, well, about everything, about Americans standing in the world, about what comes next, then you're feeling like everybody else is, and uncertainty is usually a time that you want to increase your holdings in gold. When I do that, I do it with Birch Gold. I buy my gold from Birch Gold. You can go to HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, H-U-G-H, to 474747. They will send you free information. If you want to roll over a portion of your IRA or your 401k into physical precious metals, Birch Gold is who to do that with. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, countless 5-star reviews, thousands of happy customers. If you're thinking, I got to get some gold, do it with Birch Gold via HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, to 474747. That's Hugh to 474747 or HughGold.com. Welcome back, America. I'm Jude Hewitt, live inside the Beltway. I love it when a friend writes a great book. David Bonson is a longtime friend of mine from Orange County, California. His brand new book, There's No Free Lunch, blurb by Larry Kudlow, blurb by Father Sirico, blurb by Ben Shapiro, is in bookstores now, available at Amazon.com. There's No Free Lunch is absolutely essential reading for anyone who doesn't know anything about economics and for people who do know something about economics. David Bonson is, though, a friend. I would like to declare that. I've known him a long time. David, good morning. Welcome to the program, and congratulations.
Thank you, Hugh. It is so good to be with you.
Well, I have a beef to pick with you, though. I've got two beefs with Chris Christie. I have one beef with you, which is I got the book yesterday by Federal Express, and you're on today. What am I supposed to do?
I think I should blame this on supply chain disruptions. Would that fit?
You know, I normally don't have anyone on unless I read the book, but I know you and I know what this book is. So I'm just going to open it to Dr. Laffer on page 192. People don't work to pay taxes. They work and invest for the after-tax return. And then you add, the simple point that Laffer makes here struck at the core of the incentives in outlining a tax and economic policy that was desperately needed after the stagflations of the 70s. So, David, I get the book. You go and you find absolutely inarguable propositions from economics, and then you elucidate them and you explain them for a 2021 crowd. Is that it?
You got it. That's the idea. And I would have loved to have written 250 truths without the precedent from these great masters. But unfortunately, there's nothing they have said that can be improved upon. So I add my commentary to contextualize, to maybe add a little bit of clarity. But these truths from Adam Smith to Thomas Sowell to the aforementioned Art Laffer, I think these are the best truisms we have to formulate an economic worldview.
Let me give you another example at random, page 128. Complete free trade is not politically feasible. Why? Because it's only in the general interest and in no one's special interest, Milton Friedman. Perhaps, writes David Bonson, it is a political statement as much as an economic one, but undoubtedly opposition to free trade comes from connected and particular interests, not the objective interests of society at large. So, David, that is a, I hadn't thought about that, but this is actually a great way to introduce people to the dismal science.
I think it is. I think that with little, pithy quotes from these great economists, you get an ability to formulate, thinking that might match with your intuition. There's nothing that is counterintuitive about what they're saying, but then I try to do it in a way that helps build an actual foundation. And that's actually the point of the book, Hugh. It's something I think you've been doing with your radio show as long as I've been listening to you, is taking ideas that people already have a certain impulse towards, but putting some meat on the bone, giving them the ability to kind of formulate more philosophical thinking, more foundation around it. And that's the idea. And then you get stuff like free trade, minimum wage, tax policy. Once you have that foundation, you can start doing policy application.
I want to expand on that. I often think that the most important things we can do is repeat obvious truths and expand on them. There are new truths out there because we have new scientific discoveries. There are new truths, for example, about COVID-19. But economics, since Adam Smith, really hasn't changed much. Karl Marx tried to repeal it, but it didn't change much. It's still the same selfish hand. It's still the same self-interest. It's still the same interested actor. David Bonson, I want to play for you the great, perhaps the greatest bit of audio I've had in a long time, and it comes from Lawrence Summers. Before I play it for you, give me your opinion of Lawrence Summers.
Well, I've had the pleasure of spending a fair amount of time with him over the years. I disagree intensely on the foundation of economics. He is a neo-Keynesian in every sense of the word, but he is by far the brightest neo-Keynesian and most prepared to defend that view of anyone on the planet. So while I disagree foundationally, I hold him in high regard intellectually.
And I've only had two meetings with him. Once I spent dinner with him, and it was fascinating because we talked about the difference between working for Obama and working for Clinton. And he has a secretary of treasury for Clinton and former senior advisor to President Obama on the economy. He knew both men. We talked about leadership. The other time was in a commencement parade. So that was really just don't step on my shoes. But yesterday on CNN, Lawrence Summers says this to Fareed Zakaria, cut number 4.
Look, they forecast that inflation would be 2% this year in the president's budget. It's three times that. They said in the summertime, after they'd been initially wrong, that inflation would be back to normal by the end of the year. Then they said early in the fall that inflation would subside early next year. Now they're saying that it's going to subside in the second half of next year. Sooner or later, I'm sure it will subside. But my judgment is, given the inflation momentum that has built up, that it's going to take some significant policy adjustment or some unfortunate accident that slows the economy before inflation gets back to the 2% range.
All right, David Bahnsen, no one is ever going to pay cash money to go to a comedy club where Larry Summers is the headliner, right? He's not Stephen Colbert. He's not Jerry Seinfeld. That was painful to listen to. It was so slowly delivered. Was it true?
Well, first of all, I don't think that he's less funny than Stephen Colbert, but I'll leave second of all, he's very right about what they predicted. He's right about what he predicted. He's definitely doing a little, you know, trolling. He's poking at them a bit. The real inside baseball on this is that Elizabeth Warren has been out to get him for years, and the Biden administration listened to her more than they listened to him. He was very highly regarded inside the Obama administration, and he's upset about it. But none of that changes the fact he's a professional. He's an honest broker. He's sharing his opinion. His views on the inflation impact of Biden policies are more centered on the lack of Keynesian impact from the spending. In other words, he's all for big government stimulus spending. He just didn't think there was anything stimulative about this. I would disagree with him in that what we really need is effective government spending. I think this is purely a supply-side problem. They do not have enough goods and services producing in the economy relative to the sky.
Oops, your phone broke up there, David.
Don't have.
Okay. You're driving around. You must be in Newport Beach where the sailboats are interfering with your radio signal this morning.
I'm actually sitting in my office in New York City, so I'm sorry if the signal went out. It normally doesn't do that.
Okay, so you're back.
So I think that this is a supply-side issue, and so I disagree with Biden administration policies, and I happen to disagree with the reason for Larry Summers' criticism, but I very much agree with his conclusion.
Now, you see, I only normally see David in Orange County, and he's on his yacht, and he's in the middle of Lido Harbor, and so I normally don't catch him in New York City. So we're going to press on despite New York City interrupting here. Larry Summers is right about inflation going on. David Bahnsen's book is There's No Free Lunch. And when you spend as much money as Joe Biden has spent, there's no free lunch. There are consequences. Now, David, I have Brian Westbury on, Charlie Dombeck from Key City Capital. You're the third serious wealth advisor I know who's been on. What should people do with their money right now? You advise people on wealth. So does Charlie Dombeck at Key City Capital. So does Brian Westbury at First Trust Portfolio. You're a wealth advisor. What should people do right now if they have money in the bank?
The only solution to this is on the supply side. You need more productivity. So you have to invest where that productivity is going to come from. Materials, industrials, commodities. This is the area that's going to have to pull us out. More business investment, more CapEx. I do think people need to be selective. I wouldn't be buying the whole market. I think a lot of the technology stuff that's carried the way is very overpriced. But you are going to need a supply-side solution, and that's going to come from the old-school parts of the economy. Materials, industrials, that type of business investment is going to do the trick here.
Okay, now we got a lot of Steelers fans listening, David. And no free lunches is there's no free lunches already coming as a shock to them. Because they think there is. They're Steelers fans. So would you explain what you meant by when you said you've got to invest in the old economy because it's got to get us out of here? There's a lot of steps you left out there, and the Steelers fans are driving off the road.
Yes, but it is actually very appropriate for Pittsburgh because of their legacy economically. We have to be making stuff. We are so underinvested in factories, underinvested in warehouses, inventory buildup, And a lot of this is because demand is so high. But see, as a supply sider, you have to produce to get demand. That's where it comes from. And we're losing that virtuous cycle in the economy. So that's how I'm connecting these things, is that we need to produce more things, invest into projects, capital expenditures that have been underinvested in. Because of the big buildup of debt, there's been a sort of stagnant move in the economy. This did not start with COVID. It started with the financial crisis. We started to get a pickup in CapEx after the Trump tax cuts. 2017 to 2019, we got the highest GDP we had had, but it still didn't get back to that 3.1% average of the last 70 years. We've been running at half of our 70-year average.
But David Bonson, again, the Steelers fans hear you say CapEx, and they think, I thought the Winter Soldier was Captain America's partner. Who's CapEx? You've got to break it down for people in Pittsburgh. What does that mean, CapEx?
It very simply means business investment. The expenditures of capital spending, CapEx is just short for capital expenditures, the investment a business makes into future projects. So whether you're talking about R&D, research and development into new ideas and innovations and technology, whether you're talking about actually going and building new factories, new widgets, there's a lot of onshoring of U.S. Manufacturing that is now taking place, and a lot of it is for very good reason. That's what I mean by CapEx. It's business investment. We cannot get more return from old investments. We have
that's,
to have
by the way,
more productivity.
That's why the only two stocks I own are Amazon and Palantir, and I leave it up to mutual fund managers to do what David just decided, because while I can read, there's no free lunch. And I think I've said it seven times, which is the Frank Luntz rule. You've got to say the title of a book seven times. There's no free lunch. If you want to sell, there's no free lunch. I don't think amateurs should be doing Robin Hood, David Bonson. Do you agree with me? They can read there's no free lunch, and it ought to lead them to hiring a professional. Do you agree with me?
I certainly do, but I also understand people might think I'm talking my book, and in this case, I don't mean my There's No Free Lunch book. I mean the fact that I manage money for a living. But the reason why I don't think people should be doing it on their own is because it's too emotional, people are too connected, and they make bad decisions without that professional guidance. To the extent someone thinks they have the intellect and emotional resolve to do it without paying someone like me a fee, I'm all for it. But I very rarely see something like that.
It doesn't exist. I want to warn everyone out there, if you're your own investment advisor, it's like a lawyer being their own lawyer. Bad choice. David Bonson's book is a good choice to begin. There's no free lunch available in bookstores now. David, thank you. Keep coming back. I'll watch for you on CNBC and Fox Business. One of the smartest guys who ever shows up on television, David Bonson.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.